League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right. The next interview is a very important one here because this weekend, the International Sports Film Festival is taking place down at the Post. By the way, if you want information on the times of all the events and movies, it's ISFFH.org, International Sports Film Festival. One of the films is called Big Time Soccer, The Remarkable Rise and Fall of the NASL, which was the North American Soccer League, which ran from 1968 to its closure in 1984. We had two Houston pro teams that were in that. 68 for 1 year, the Houston Stars played at the Astrodome, and then the Houston Hurricanes, who also played at the Astrodome in the 70s and had players like Kyle Rote Jr., Kai Haskaby. Rachel Violet's father, and Rachel's the producer and director of this film called Big Time Soccer, The Remarkable Rise and Fall of the NASL. Rachel Violet's father was the legendary Dennis Violet, one of the all-time leading goal scorers for Manchester United. She put this film together because as a young kid, she was around her father, who was the coach of the Washington Diplomats. She knows the whole story of the North American Soccer League. This movie, for me, is 100% required viewing for anybody that works in Major League Soccer. If you are not watching this, you are not putting into context what is currently going on. Because every ball kicked today in MLS draws a direct line back to this league and all the other pro sports leagues that has come before it. Here's my interview with Rachel Violet, the producer and director of the movie called Big Time Soccer, The Remarkable Rise and Fall of the NASL. Well, Rachel, the first thing, I do want to say this to the Houston listeners here. We have had two teams in the North American Soccer League from 1968. We had the Houston Stars and then the Houston Hurricanes were in it. Your new movie, Big Time Soccer, The Remarkable Rise and Fall of the North American Soccer League. For full disclosure, Rachel Violet's father was the legendary goal scorer for Manchester United, Dennis Violet, who was the coach of the Washington Diplomats. He also coached the Jacksonville T-Men. He was at the New England T-Men as well. So, you know, through your eyes, this was kind of a bit of a passion piece here because you lived this through your father and your connection to the North American Soccer League.
Yeah, very lucky to have lived this as you did as well. And those memories of the NASL and attending the games and the after parties and they've stayed with me my whole life. I don't even think there's been a week that's gone by in my life where I haven't thought about those years of the NASL and those players, the coaches, the owners, they were our heroes growing up. And the caliber of soccer was so high and the games were so exciting and they had so many fun events before, during and after the games. It was just a brilliant time. And I just had this sort of idea in the back of my head for a long time, wanting to do the film. And then I got a call from Bobby Moffitt one day. He's like, we're having a 50th reunion, NASL reunion in Dallas. And would you like to come down and maybe do a documentary? And I said, well, funny you should say that. Yes, I would love to. So that's kind of how it all got started. But yes, it was a passion project. And I know for a lot of the guys that played in the league and coached in the league, those were some of the best years of their lives as well. And it's just something that I had to do. And it was wonderful kind of reliving those years in these interviews.
She's Rachel Violet. She's a producer director. It's called Big Time Soccer, The Remarkable Rise and Fall of the NASL. Thank you for sending it to me because I completed watching it today before this interview. A lot of things strike me. The undying belief that soccer could make it in this country by a lot of these owners and Phil Woosnam. The other part of it is that at the end of this movie, I'm just going, God, I'm thinking of myself personally as a kid who watched the Cosmos and then ended up playing against a lot of these guys. And that thread goes directly to the success of Major League Soccer now and to everything that goes on youth soccer fields across America.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of that has to do with the NASL, but also what happened, even though the league unfortunately folded in 1984 for a few reasons, which we go over, talk about in the documentary. But so many of those coaches and players stayed heavily, heavily involved with the game. And whether it was through playing and coaching in the ASL, which you were a part of, the American Soccer League, forming new leagues, obviously youth soccer, soccer camps, onto the getting the World Cup here in 94. So the legacy continued, the work continued. And I think that's why we are where we're at, or one of the reasons why we're at.
Yeah, that's a great point you make, Rachel. And let's, you know, I do want to mention, listen to the stars and the names that came over here. You know, the likes of Pelé, Giorgio Chinaglia. You had Rodney Marsh from Queens Park Rangers coming over. You had Nenny Kubiyas, who ended up staying in America with Fort Lauderdale, one of the biggest goal scorers in the history of the World Cup. I mean, George Best. I mean, on and on they go. And, you know, it is remarkable that that level of star, that quality, that celebrity was here. Franz Beckenbauer, Gerd Müller. I mean, we can go on and on.
Johan Cruyff.
Thank you.
You love the NASL. Yeah. I know. It's incredible. I mean, when you really think about it, it just soccer went from kind of zero to 200 miles an hour in a matter of a few years. And they all really love playing in the league. They love being in America. I mean, that's one of the reasons my dad came over. He toured America during when he was with Manchester United in the 1950s. They came over, they toured America. He fell in love with the country. So when the opportunity, you know, arose to come back here, he did. And he loved America. All those guys, they love playing here.
You know, for the American player, it was a different story. There were two that had to be on the field at all times. It went to three. And in the movie, you depict it very well, because guys like Giorgio Chinaglia, the great Italian striker for the Cosmos, he would get naturalized and he would count as one of the American players, you know. So it wasn't the easiest at times. Chicago and Lee Stern did use like Rudy Glenn and Charlie Ficus. I remember those guys getting a lot of playing time, but it really was a league at the time that did not have grassroots support. The game wasn't in the suburbs in America. It was all around ethnic pockets and cities.
Yeah.
And then to think where it is now and where youth soccer is, and we got national team players coming from Alabama. Do you ever think of it in that context, just how different it is now when it comes to the support of the game at the grassroots level?
Absolutely. And I think the NASL did a great job with getting, you know, taking soccer to the suburbs of the United States. And a great example of that was when my dad's team, who he was coaching with Noel Cantwell at the time, the New England team, and when they moved to Jacksonville, Florida, of all places. And I remember kids that I went to school with at the time, I think I was third, fourth, fifth grade, sixth grade. A lot of them had never seen a soccer game before, had never kicked a ball, had never been to a soccer camp. And within a matter of, you know, months of the team being there, they've got their team end shirts on, they're going to camps or going to games or falling in love with the sport. So that's just an example right there of one city where the NASL had a huge impact. And now North Florida, I mean, soccer is just booming there. And I know that a lot of pockets of the country, that same thing happened. So,
yeah. And I think that's the other amazing thing, is just how many of these great players and people stayed around to just continue to blossom the game and continue to blossom the game to this day as well. You know, for me, growing up watching the Cosmos, I mean, that was a huge part of my player development, because it was simply being in a live stadium, watching these superstars. We'd see Mick Jagger up there. We'd see the guys from Zeppelin. We'd go crazy, you know, and then we're watching Pelé and Chinaglia, and it was a happening. Tell me about the happening side of it, too, because that was part of it. You were convincing people to come to these games that really didn't know the ins and outs of the sport necessarily.
Well, exactly. And I just want to say you hit on something huge, because Brandi Chastain talks about this in the movie, how the San Jose earthquakes were her teachers. And she would go to the games and she'd watch George Best and she'd watch all these other guys do certain things. And you were, I'm sure, the same way with the Cosmos. So they were teachers for millions of kids in this country, because the caliber of soccer was so high. So kids were really learning from the best in so many instances. So, but yeah, it was happening. Teams like Tampa Bay, the Rowdies, all those pregame like festivities, you'd have the halftime, it could be anything. You could win a free car, by kicking a ball in a certain target.
And all these crazy, really cool promos.
Like that. Yeah, they'd have, guys in parachutes coming down with soccer balls to put on the halfway line to start the game. Then, of course, you had the after-game concerts, right? Do you remember those?
Where, oh, absolutely.
You have big names, the Beach Boys, Dionne Warwick. Yeah, they would come and perform after the game. So it was definitely, the games were big events. They weren't just soccer games. They're kind of like mini Super Bowls a little bit.
Now you just bring up a great point. Do you think we need a little bit more of that showmanship in MLS now? Do you think certain markets could use a little bit more reaching out a little bit out of the concentric circle and doing a couple riskier type of promos that are fun related like that?
Why not? Right? Yeah. Why not? Yeah. I think what I would love to see kind of across the board, this is one of the things that made the NASL so great, was how accessible the players were, how approachable the players were in the NASL. And I'd love to see maybe a little bit more of that in soccer in general. I think would make a huge difference.
We definitely need that.
Why not? A little more showmanship. Why not?
We definitely need that in our market here in Houston. And I think things are turning in a better direction with the new owner, Ted Siegel. But we definitely need that, because community outreach can't stop. And then I think, you think about now how much more competition you have with other sports, with lifestyle, with computers, with phones. You got to be out in the community.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That 100%. And I used Miami. I lived in Miami for 15 years, and that's just an example. So many other sports to compete with and so much to do. And so I think you've got to kind of think outside the box sometimes with soccer and make it more accessible to the community. And I think that goes a long way. If kids and families are meeting players, and there's that likability factor, they want to go watch them, right? So I think that would be something that I think would really benefit soccer.
Rachel Violet. She's the producer director. It's Big Time Soccer, the remarkable rise and fall of the NASL. Totally 100% endorse this. I actually think, Rachel, and I'm going to repeat this, but I think this should be required viewing for everybody that works in Major League Soccer. I kid you not. And the USL. I really think it puts a lot of things in context. It reminds you how we got here. It reminds you the effort, the grassroots type of stuff, which can sometimes get lost in the commercialism of the game today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for that. Yes, the grassroots thing. I think that's probably one of the, if not biggest legacy of the league, especially early on in the late 60s or early 70s, mid 70s, the grassroots outreach was just huge. And the guys, I don't think they even got paid for it, actually. Blood, sweat, and tears. So yeah, we owe a lot to them for that.
So the process of doing this, I mean, it must have been fun. You had great interviews with the likes of Rodney Marsh, Ray Hudson, Werner Roth, I thought was exceptional, very well-spoken guy, on and on with everybody who's in it. A lot of the owners, Lee Stern, putting it and piecing it together. How long did all of this take? And is that something, that process, the editing and everything and the storyline, is that obviously it's something you enjoy doing?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I love, I did all the story editing, and obviously directed it and produced it. But I love that. And that's what I did during lockdown. I mean, that's how I spent my, thank God.
You got something out. You got something out of it then.
Yeah, I did. I was actually really, really busy, thankfully, during that time. But no, it was a thrill for me. And piecing it together was hard. I mean, it was really, really hard. What do you put in? What do you leave out? I mean, there were some gut-wrenching decisions that I had to make, which is why I'm wanting to possibly do a part two to this, because I've got so much great footage still left and I don't want it to stay in the can, so to speak. So, but it was a thrill for me, and Rodney, interviewing him in Tampa was just a blast. It was hysterical, the whole thing.
What a showman too. Not only a great player, but what a showman.
I love him. He's very naughty, but I love him. And it was just meeting all my
heroes. You could do the X-rated version of the rise and fall of the NASL also, you know.
Yeah, I know. Right. Oh, for sure. but just the stories with some of the after parties, talking to Rodney and things, which are in, you know, the PG version is in the film. So, it was really wonderful for me to interview so many of my heroes. It was great. Reliving those years. Amazing.
Well, Rachel, congratulations. It's a great watch. I highly recommend it. It's Big Time Soccer, the remarkable rise and fall of North American Soccer League. And if you're somebody that's playing soccer in the United States now, you are directly rooted to the North American Soccer League and this movie that Rachel has put together. Rachel, thanks so much for coming on. Always appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
And I want to remind people, her father, one of the greatest goal scorers ever for Manchester United. And you know what? You ended up in tennis, by the way.
Yeah, I love soccer, played both for a while, but I ended up in tennis and went to University of Miami, go Canes, went on the tour for a little bit. But I studied film actually in college and always wanted to do this. And yeah, but tennis was fabulous to me. It was great to me.
Yeah, you knew it. You knew it was coming. Rachel, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks so much, Glenn. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Rachel Violet. The name of the movie is Big Time Soccer, the remarkable rise and fall of the NASL. You will not want to miss this.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.